Random Podcast with Raffy and Chandra.
Welcome back to the Random Podcast with Raffy and Chandra. Huzzah!
Welcome everybody.
Oh, that is loud. The Riverside version of the Foley Room is quite loud. So this is the podcast where we explore how the random affects the everyday. And today we have now probably one of our many regular transcontinental Starlink episodes. Like, literally, you are listening to an episode that is bouncing from here in Melbourne to somewhere in space, down to wherever Chandra is via Starlink. So this is a first.
Yeah, and funny enough, the internet has been way better than when I was in Bunbury. I feel like it's much more reliable.
Today, I've been having the crappy internet connections that I couldn't quite figure out why. It suddenly fixed itself. So the last 15 minutes, we were like, why you are blocked? Why is the cursor not even moving on our live document?
Did you move to Bunbury? Is that what happened?
Oh, well, I feel like... in a way, I have, but yeah. So I just thought we'd do a quick little catch-up show because you're getting used to boat life, which I want to know all about. So let's begin with how are you? So Chandra, how are you? How's boat life?
I'm all right. It's exciting.
Yeah?
It was very interesting, actually. So the first time that, because I've never actually seen this specific model of boat, seemed like a good idea, you know. Buy it online, that's what you do normally. So I remember walking up to the dock and was trying to work out which boat was my one, because there's basically, when you come to the dock, there's like 12 of almost the same boat.
What's your boat called? Are you allowed to say?
Yes, it's a Lagoon 46.
Did you name your boat?
It has a name. It's Serendipity.
Serendipity, and, nice.
To add to it as well.
There we go, Serendipity.
It's registered in Fremantle, which is spelled F-R-E-M-A. But at the moment, in giant letters, there's Serendipity, and right underneath that, Fremantle, spelt with two E's.
Well, Mantle must be freed, okay? Mantle
exactly.
Must
so
be
I'm currently
freed.
Freeing Mantle, I think. That was like the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, great, there's a spelling mistake to start. Awesome.
So how did you find it? What's it like?
Yeah, it was quite,
tell us more.
It was huge. The boat was huge. I was like, whoa, that's a big boat. It was great. So walking around, it's, yeah, very much like a three-bedroom apartment, basically, that happens to be removable. There's like a sort of living room area. There's like a little outdoor porch at the back. There's another living area at the top where you sort of are when you're underway. And then there's three bedrooms in the hulls, which are quite nice. And I'd say the bedroom is probably the same size, or actually this bedroom's probably bigger than my bedroom in other places that I've had.
Wow. So like, for those just listening, if you go to Spotify, we actually have the videos up, and you can kind of see Chandra's background, which is, I assume he's from, yeah, like talking from
the
study.
Part.
Yeah. So you can literally
and
see
then,
it's actually fairly.
There's a whole another half to this, which is the bathroom.
Yeah. So he's in the, so imagine bed, like a long corridor, bedroom at one side, a little study section in the middle, and bathroom in the other. He's in the middle, got the camera pointed at the bedroom, and it looks like a double bed area, and it's actually like fairly nicely kitted out. It looks modern.
Bed.
Queen. Oh, yeah. There you go. Even bigger.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all like wood paneling. It's looks like it's perfect for a minimalist life. There's lots of storage areas that definitely won't have crap put in there.
I'm discovering more and more and more storage space. Like, for example, I just opened the seat, so I'm sitting on a couch, if you like, here. And I've just discovered it lifts up, and there's like a couch worth of storage under there for more stuff.
I am not buying the boat off you, man.
Don't worry, you'll find extra surprises. So, for example, under the floor panels, there's about another meter worth of space down to the bottom of the hull. So I've just got a wine storage thing for 12 bottles, and it's just disappeared off in the corner. you could easily fit like 100 bottles of wine under that panel alone.
I can't wait to finally go on the boat, and then I'm just going to bring random surprises and probably a family of cats and let them loose. And then you'll be like, what? How did they get there? And we're like, yeah, this is how it feels like after moving out of any apartment you've been in.
Rafi, you want to take over by the
Yeah, not doing that, not doing that. So how long? So I was in
So
Europe
yeah,
just then. That's why
basically
we've had
when
a
I
bit of
got
a.
there, I was getting some extra work done on the boat, because from the factory it's pretty bare kind of thing. So I wanted a few extra bits and pieces done so that it's much more off-grid friendly, because what I wanted to be able to do is to live off-grid, you know, indefinitely on it. So that means you need solar power, you need a decent battery bank, and you need something to make fresh water out of salt water. Once you've got those things, you can kind of stay off
What
the
about all
grid
like the
as
actual,
much as you want.
what about the actual like interiors and stuff? Where they that's just how it came, like all the wall paneling. Like, did you have to like renovate
This is
the
kind
boat
of like,
or
no, this is like, it's all set
like
up because I
standard?
took over somebody else's sort of contract for delivery of a boat. So basically, they'd sort of picked out the coloring and all that sort of jazz. I'm like, eh, it's fine. It floats. It looks
Oh, is
nice.
this brand new?
Well, it's being used as a boat show. So it's like an ex demo model. So
Yeah, like as
it's.
in it's not worn in. This is like a fairly new model of the lagoon, what it
Yeah,
is.
yeah,
Yeah,
So
okay. Because I was gonna say it looks very
relatively
modern.
speaking, it's new. Yeah.
Yeah.
So officially, it's this year's model. And they used it at the boat show earlier this year. So then cleaned up, headed over, got some extra work done, and now I'm on.
Nice. Nice. And so it was in, I think, France, right? You got the work done.
So that was
Yeah.
a frustrating process. I knew that, you know, there's going to be some delays, but dear God, so slow and so many things. You're like, that doesn't look right. They're like, oh yeah, okay, better change that. Like, I don't
So
even know what I'm doing, and
the
it's
original
not
plan
good when
was
the professional people seem to change.
yeah, so our original plan was like the reason this episode is delayed is yeah, we were both flying to Europe, and there was going to be like a 1 week of crossover between Chandra being there and me being there, and if the boat was ready, I was going to jump on for part of the maiden voyage. But it I kept on messaging him, and he was like, no, something else is broken. So I had to
Yep.
leave Europe and come back just so that I had to restart work. So hence I'm not part of the main voyage. Otherwise, we actually plan to do a yeah, random episode from the boat itself. So where
Randon
are you
on
now at the moment?
the boat. So I finally made it to Gibraltar. We sailed from
Ah.
sort of the northern France around the outside along the coast there, then stopped in Faro, which is at the bottom of Portugal. Stopped there to wait for the
Which is
weather to
not
improve,
Faroe Islands.
and then it's not Faroe Islands, different Faro.
Very different
And then
Faroe.
from there came here to Gibraltar. Very different. But that passage from Faro to Gibraltar was interesting because at the moment there's a whole bunch of orcas, killer whales, that are attacking boats, and they've
Sea pandas, you
developed a
mean?
taste for rudders. They've developed a taste for rudders, so they seem to like playing with the rudder on boats. And quite a few boats, either they break the rudder, and so the boat has to get towed because you don't have a rudder, you can't steer. So they get towed. Or
What's a
some of them
rudder
have
made
had
out of?
the fiberglass, usually. So they just take like a pipe out of it.
Why?
Yeah,
Like
don't
of all things, like I
know.
thought maybe it was like leather, which would be weird, but you know, that at least it makes sense,
No.
but
There's lots of theories, like as to are they attacking them? Are they just playing with it for fun? Nobody really knows, but it seems to have picked up a bit recently.
if anyone
And
knows the orca for the Randon podcast that would like to be
yeah,
interviewed, let us
please bring them on.
know.
There's all these different strategies that people use, and there's like a website keeping track of people that got attacked and didn't. So we had bags of sand. So apparently throwing that in there kind of messes with their sonar thing a bit, and they don't like it. We had
Oh, like
dishwasher
I said,
liquid
you
they'd
have.
squirt in there. Yeah, literally bags of sand.
Oh, so you just leave it on your boat until
Yeah, you just,
orcas
well, you,
attack.
the idea is if you get attacked, you throw it off. Full black water
What are you gonna
tanks
do
are
with dishwashing
tempting.
liquid? You're pouring it into the
Yeah.
ocean. Like, I'm sure
No,
it's
apparently they don't like it. I squirted at them. They don't like stuff in there.
not gonna
They apparently don't like it. So had that, had air horns to put against a hull and go, wah.
much.
All sorts of stuff. And full poop tanks to dump.
I feel like this is like a true Randon style. They're like, we don't know why they're attacking. Okay, hold a spoon in each hand. That will scare them because they don't like spoons.
Right? Like, there's been quite a few boats that have been sunk. So,
how did they sink the boat? Well, like, the rudder,
The rudder is connected to the boat. And so if you pull a rudder off a boat, there's a big hole in the boat.
Like a big hole? I thought it would be like a small sort of mechanical lever style thing. No?
No, because the rudder's got a big, thick, like a pole that comes down through the boat, because, you know, the rudder's post has to be kind of strong.
Yeah, okay.
So if you rip that whole assembly out, now you've got a hole in the boat. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a problem.
They actually ripped the entire... No, I just thought maybe like they nibbled on the rudder and it became ineffective.
Some of them, they nibble and disable the boat, and some of them, it comes out. So, yeah, it just depends.
Are these like Russian orcas? Is this like some one of Vladimir's... Have you ever played Red Alert? Like the Command and Conquer? Like there was like weird dolphins with mind rays and all this stuff. This sounds like one of those things.
Well, the interesting thing is there's... So they've like been studying this now for like a couple of years or something, but... there's two pods that do it, and it's not known elsewhere. Like, it's just specific to those two pods. And it's like they teach each other within the pod. So first there was one, and then the next pod was taught. So there's two specific pods that do it. And we got lucky because literally we were on the radio coming around Tarif, which is kind of like the bottom pod. So there was like a hot spot where all the activity was. And we passed through there, and then... 3 hours later, we heard on the radio a call from a boat which was calling for help because they just got their rudder disabled. Literally 3 hours ago, 3 hours after where we were.
Wow.
Okay.
That's crazy. Well, so, okay, this is like the other thing that is like, you know, moment of appreciation, if you like. Just 2 weeks ago, I was right there in Tangier looking at Tarifa because that's the narrowest point. So the ferry goes from Tangier to Tarifa, so you can go from Morocco to there. And I was at the port taking a photo. And I'm like, man, 2 weeks later, you're there. But it's just like, I think I was just talking about this to someone today. It's so amazing that in other parts of the world that is not Australia, that you can get on a train or a plane or like probably a bicycle and go to another country. Like the borders are so close to each other. Whereas in Australia, like everything, well, like over
coming around the point there, I'd like look to the left, Europe continent, look to the right, Africa continent. You're like, that's new.
And it's just like, you know, because what amazes me is the fact that in Australia, you go to Perth and look, everyone's chilled out and a bit more laid back and all that stuff, right? But by and large, it still feels like Australia. You don't feel like you're in a different country. But over there, if you made that crossing, like I was in Malaga, which is not that far from Tarifa, right? Like, from there to Morocco is very different.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Right? Next. Like, what? To Malaga?
Spain, right?
Yeah. Malaga is awesome. Like, Malaga is actually really just chilled out. I really liked it. Yeah. But I just find the fact that you can be 40 minutes away from each other and still have such a different culture. Like, the entire feel of, Tangier versus Malaga is very different. Right, like different language, different cuisine, different everything. They're just like, you can see the other place. Whereas like from here, you go to Perth, which is like a continent away, and you're like, huh, it's a Melbourne brunch.
Yeah.
All right. So any other highlights from
made it into Gibraltar? So made it into Gibraltar. It's really nice actually, like coming through all the different areas and whatnot. Like as you sail down the coast and things. It's very weather dependent. Good weather. Oh, it's amazing. Crappy weather. You're like, man, this is the worst thing ever. Where's my boat? Where's my home trying to sink? And then it's like a nice sunny day. And you're like, this is the best house ever.
So have you had mainly good days or bad days so far? Like, how long has it been now? Like a week? Really.
A week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So stopped nice. I think we stopped for like 36, 1.5 days or so in Faro. But otherwise, it's been pretty much continuous.
Nice.
So it's been you've nice got now. In Gibraltar, we've stopped here for a couple of days and waiting for the wind to change so we can keep going along. But I'm also discovering the problems of there's like a never-ending to-do list and also a wish list. I'm like, I wish I changed this one thing. And what about that one thing? It's like an endless project that never finishes.
What's like the never-ending to-do list? It's not like you can kind of go, gee, I it's the helipad.
Like, for example... Well, for example, so that like there's up in the two front sort of peaks of the boat, so the catamarans, it's got two hulls, the very yeah. front of the hull, there's about a bedroom size like space there. Some people actually kit that out as a bedroom. At the moment, mine are empty, but usually kind of just use them as storage lockers.
How do you get into them? Like, is it like one of those port hatch things?
Yeah, it's like a hatch thing, and yeah. like they're huge. Like, I need a ladder to get out. I was like, that'd be a great project. Like, you know, put some hooks along the side, make some shelves, hang stuff. You're like, okay, that'd be a nice to have. But again, that'll be like a project. And then on the other hand, you've got other things like the man. There's winches are kind of like something used to pull ropes, basically. There's electric ones and manual ones. I've got one electric, one manual, and there is a way to use the electric one pretty much for everything. But the problem I didn't realize appreciate on this boat is you get a lot of spaghetti, i.e. a lot of line hanging around everywhere. So I'm like, damn, wish I had both of them electric to make life easier.
Are you going to get another electric one?
Yeah, well, it just kind of depends on the money tree, really.
Okay, yeah.
Everything can be fixed for a price.
Yeah, it sounds like you and I have had a very different last 2 weeks.
So what about you? What have you been up to for the last couple of weeks?
Well, really mainly just settling back in. So like I said, I've been in Europe as well. I think I left just before you did. But then you went straight to France on the last week I was there. So I went to Portugal, Morocco, and Spain. And literally I was in Morocco for like 36 hours. And mainly because so many trips were planned to Africa and they've been cancelled for various reasons. So now I can finally say I've been to all 7 continents. So huzzah to me. Yay.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, well, you're also just Africa, right? Like, that's the only thing you've got left.
Yeah,
because you've done.
Yeah, I could just catch a ferry across, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Because, because you've done every other one. Yeah, because we've been to most of the other. Yeah, because you've definitely done, like, Asia. Yeah, and we did South America because we were in Buenos Aires at the same time with Antarctica.
I should just catch a ferry, tick.
I so wanted to, because I was like, okay, the other thing is, man, I feel like as a brown person, I'm letting the team down. Like, I've flown to places, I've caught a train to places, like, but I haven't been a boat person. I haven't entered a country by a boat.
Well, I can officially say I'm a boat person now. I'm literally entering all the countries by boat.
See, you've done it, so I'm going to have to actually, like, jump on at some point just to enter a new country on a boat. So, hey, actually, that's what I was going to ask you. So when you come, is there, like, a customs office? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's very confusing. So every country is different and every region is different. And I'm working it out as I go. Like, here in Gibraltar, they actually had some... They had like an electronic notification thing with customs. So you fill it out a form online. And then when you get to the, so I'm staying here at a marina, not anchoring. So then they kind of took care of the rest. And then I just got an email from customs saying, you're checked in. So,
okay. So they don't stamp your passport.
Because I'm now sailing around the EU Schengen zone. No, so there's no passport stamp.
Oh man, I want like the entered by Schengen stamp.
I don't know if I get any more or what the deal is. So,
Schengen's pretty like there's nothing. Like, even when I was flying from Portugal to Spain and stuff,
yeah, but it's just like a different whether I need to clear customs for the boats and things as I come in. So, I'll work it out as well.
They don't even do a screening check, like, not even a like from Portugal to Spain, for example, there was nothing. Like, literally, it felt like a domestic flight. Whereas, like, Tangier back, it was an international one, but that one sucked because everyone jumped into the EU line. So as the non-EU passport holders, we got out, but there was, like, a 40, 50 people line for the other one. So, it was
a bit slow.
Yeah, so we were out in, like, 5 minutes, and we're like, holy crap, I'm so glad we don't have an EU one, but we've got, like, one of the chip passports so we can use the other reader. But I gotta say, this was the first holiday in a very long time where, like, I'd taken three and a half weeks off. And so the entire plan was we'd go do all the stuff. And then I had the last week kind of free just in case your boat was ready. But so looks like it wasn't going to be. So I was like, okay, what do I do? I'll just go hang around somewhere in Europe or go anywhere. I've got the time free. But I was kind of like, you know, I could do anything in the world. I just want to pretend I'm away so no one calls me. But I just want to be home and play with the cats, like not just miss the cats. So I actually flew home early. And this was like the first time in ages where I was like, that was the right call. Like my phone was essentially on like airplane mode. So no one called me. And I just did like minor things around the house. And it was just really relaxing. And it's like the first time in ages that I felt like, yeah, that holiday was long enough. I just want to chill out, you know? And yeah, it just let me catch up on a lot of stuff. And well, actually tomorrow we're recording this on, what is it? The 20th. 21st of May. So the old apartment, the old background with the cupboards and stuff. So it got sold. I'm handing over the keys. So it's been a bit of a nostalgic day because you ended up renting that apartment first, remember? Because I was still in Perth cleaning up your old apartment. And
thank you.
So it came fully furnished. So today was so we had to get rid of all the furniture. And today was the first time I've actually seen it empty. And it's just like, it's just very weird considering it's been 7 years there and I've had you as a housemate, I've had another housemate and like, you know, so much has happened there. Like, you know, I became a consultant when I was living there. Like, yeah, like the podcast started right there in that giant empty.
with some Uber Eats and the living room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just think about it. Like, you know, your C41 project was there. Like, half your AI stuff started there. So, like, you know, like so many things actually started. Like, I even proposed to my wife there.
That was the location of my fellowship.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it just feels kind of nostalgic, kind of wishful that it's all gonna be gone tomorrow. But anyway. It sounds like the people that are coming to take over are gonna, like, they're already immediately planning to update the carpet and redo it and make it into it's going to a good place, but it's still making me a bit sad. But yeah, I think the biggest other thing that I've realized while I was away, which leads on to what I've been up to, is that I was looking at it going, man, I always feel tired. What is it? So I realized I was doing the numbers today. So most weeks I work 50 to 60 hours, like almost every week. And I was going, trying to do that plus a podcast, plus a newsletter, plus all this other stuff. There's not actually any other time for other projects. So that's definitely got to change, right? But there's obviously two options. It's like cut down on work or like try and rejiggle things and offload stuff. But there is this new thing that I could do, which I have been kind of putting off for the last 6 months. And I'm finally like, you know what? I'm just going to bite the bullet. So work has this one new site, which is out in the country. It's about an hour away, right? And because it's an hour away, it's not convenient for people with kids and whatnot, because there's no way to get there and back without leaving really early, coming back really late. And if you do an on-call there, like no one lives within 20 minutes. So you have to stay out there. But they do have this perk, which is you get a guaranteed work from home the next day, right? Nice. So at the moment, if you do on call, you get the morning off just in case you have a bad one, just to sleep and rest and, you know, get back there in the afternoon. But the afternoon, like unless you work really late, you have to come back in. Whereas with this, you get a guaranteed, definite, locked in thing the next day. And unlike our normal on calls, which are like random, this one's kind of like locked in and repeating, so you can kind of schedule around it. And so I was like, you know, just before I left, I had this huge amount of like just stuff to do because the apartment got sold and I was trying to organize tradies and whatnot. Like I could have been working from home, but I just needed to be home to let someone in the door or collect a delivery, like 5-10 minutes, right? And I have a whole bunch of stuff that I actually need to get done for work. But I just like do it on my other half days. I'm like, if I had a guaranteed couple or two or three of them, maybe two in a month, like that would infinitely easier than trying to take time off for simple things. So I've signed up for that site now. So in a way, I'm working more to work less. Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm not working less per se, but it's like, it's more flexible.
Get an extra day, hopefully. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's been the biggest change. So I've just finalized that literally on Friday, like Friday afternoon. So next cycle
Nice.
starts
Well, try
June.
not to fill that random day off with more stuff, more work.
Well, so technically I can't because I'm technically getting paid from work. So I can't actually do other stuff. It's
Nice.
literally
That's
to,
good.
so it's like I'm not going to do anything else. It's just
Perfect.
so that I can be home and work around and just if there's any other life stuff that's like 5, 10 minutes worth. Because technically,
Perfect.
like
So you
I'm
can
at
get your phone
work.
on airplane mode again.
Well, they can, if it comes to an emergency, call me in. So I technically am rostered, right? But it's not, yeah, so it's not like 100% free rein, go like, go off to the races. I
So you
am
can't go
actually
to
working.
like Tangier. Damn.
Yeah, not for a day. I don't have a boat or a supersonic jet.
That boat might
But
take you a little while to get there.
yeah. So when are you actually,
I'll
are
be
you,
back in 6 to 12 months.
well, actually, are you coming back or how long is the plan to keep sailing for this time around?
So the plan is try this for 6 months and see if I like it or not.
And so
And
far, it
then
seems like it's a winner.
so far it's a yes, but there's a few more months to go.
Yeah.
Assuming I do, then I'll probably do another next year here in the Med as well, and then head over to the Caribbean. So it'll by the time I get back to Australia, it'll be a few years. Not in any rush.
But you're coming back intermittently in between all that, or
Yes, so the plan is I'll be broke in about 6 months, so I need to come back and do some work.
man, those parties on the boat must be pretty epic.
Well, yeah, so the problem is I've discovered, yeah, not discovered, but your wallet just gets drained.
Well, it's a nice boat, okay? Like I think the moment I've sent it to a few people, they're like, "Ah, that sounds like the life."
It's definitely comfy. Can't complain.
Yeah. All right. We should move on to the next segment because I think you've got your crew member like cleaning the boat
Yes.
where you're on the podcast. So
Yep.
I thought we'd keep it a bit quick. So, random facts or did you know? So I will start this one off because I was seeing like those listicles, like the internet ones, and I genuinely thought this was like fake news or whatnot. So somehow it came up. Actually, it was partly because on the Tim Ferriss podcast, they were talking about like little luxuries, like small things that make a big impact, and they're like, oh, like a good cup of tea, and I was like, oh, I wonder what like a pricey cup of tea is, right? Like, as in, what's a like not your Tetley or your Dilma or whatever, but like, what's the next rang up? So this listicle came up, and it turns out, yeah, I mean, I think you can see it on our little Word document thingy, but the world's most expensive tea is. Panda poop tea. Yeah, that's right. So just like there is like, is it cat poop coffee? Someone decided that there should be panda poop tea, and it's literally the world's most expensive. And I've got a link open here. It's something like $2,500 per like 100 grams or something. It's like literally the world's most expensive
So,
tea.
how many
So
kilos did you buy?
hey man, I'm not the one who's broke, so I don't know what you've got in your little compartment.
What? You don't have panda poop tea? What do you drink? Regular cat poop tea?
So hey man, I need a
Crazy
boat
talk.
first. Yeah. So that's my
Yeah, well, I think this
random
just
random.
proves there's a market for everything.
Yeah, hang on, let's see. Wikipedia says they officially on went on the market in 2012. It's the world's most expensive tea with 50 grams, approximately 16 cups of tea sold for $3,500. It's $130 a cup.
I feel like you could follow like financial bubbles by just looking at the sales prices and rates of these. As people start buying this more and more, the bubble's gonna burst.
Is it panda? Okay. So it's not that as bad. It's a type of tea fertilized by the dung of pandas, but it's called a panda dung tea.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'd
there
just
you go.
prefer my tea not to have been pre-digested. I feel like that's just
Yeah,
me. Call me old
I'm
fashioned.
not. Yeah, a local. Okay, here's the rest of the article. An Yanchi, which is the name of a local panda tea entrepreneur, I'm using that the tea is healthy, given the pandas only consume wild bamboo and absorb about 30% of the nutrients. So there, if you ever wanted to think like, it's like, I'm not really an entrepreneur, there is something as a local panda tea entrepreneur. So you should jump into that project, whatever it is that you want to do.
What we're saying is niche market. There's always a niche.
Find so, people. Any random facts from you?
Well, nothing panda poop related, but one thing that I had only just learned about is why pirates. Apparently, one of the reasons why pirates used to wear a patch is so they have a dark adapted eye. So, you know, when you're out in bright light and then you go into somewhere dark, it takes you a little bit for your eyes to adjust. To be able to see again in the dark. And so apparently one of the reasons for wearing a pirate patch is not just because you're missing an eye, but if you have a pirate patch on, then you've got an eye that's sort of been in the dark the whole time. So if you're in battle and you need to go from up top of the boat to inside the boat, then all you do is shift your patch over to the other side when you go inside, and now you've got a dark adapted eye and you can see inside the boat where it's dark without having to wait. I was like, yeah, that's not too dumb. And it makes sense from an eyeball perspective as well. If you've ever fallen asleep in bed, like, well, not fallen asleep, but been using your phone in bed and, you know, one of your eyes is half covered by the pillow and the other eye's open, you might have noticed like, oh, one eye's really bright, one eye's really dark. Same sort of thing.
But if you move the patch to the other eye, then when you get outside, aren't you like glared then?
Yeah, so swap it back. It's a patch.
Yeah, but like as in you're using the eye that's been dark adapted, you're in the dark, but you've covered the bright adapted eye with the dark, right? So then you come out and you're
It's like you just move the patch over to the eye you want. Not the other way. That would be counterproductive.
Yeah, anyway. Oh, wow. Okay, because I was like, where are they doing things in the dark all of a sudden? But yeah, fair enough. I suppose the ship's hull and all that is going to be dark.
This was a thing because, so at night on the boat, it used to have very useful to have very, very dim lights and so that you can still retain your night vision. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. And there you go.
Oh,
next time that you see a person wearing a pirate patch, you know why.
Yeah, well, that's definitely worth a try because that's a new fact I didn't know. All right, that's it for this episode. Yeah. I just wanted to do a new thing because I've just realized whilst I was away, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, all the news makes you feel. So I have a habit of just turning on the local news and putting on subtitles just because I'm like, just like seeing what's the current day's thing in some way new. And it just makes me feel like I'm very much far from home. And yeah, I was just like, oh, it's all the inflation stuff. It's all this, it's all that. But I just feel like there are positives and we just miss it. And the one that I saw that really made me excited was because, you know, we have to mention AI at least once per episode.
How can we not?
Well, this was the first kind of positive, like just genuinely positive thing that I've seen is they've been there for like 10 plus years now. There was a guy, Salman Khan, who started off making little YouTube videos and invented Sal Academy. Khan Academy. Which was just maths topics, or it started off with simple things, just explaining how maths works and whatnot. And it's now like an education platform that some schools use to teach kids. And so he did a new TED talk, and it was about how they're using AI to teach. And supposedly in education, there's a thing called the Three Sigma problem, which is, you know, if you get an average student and you give them really good teaching, it pushes them by like almost two standard deviations towards better, right? Whereas the excellent student, if you give it to them, they become world class, right? So, but the thing is, good teachers are hard to find. There's a lot of demand for teachers and they have a lot of other stuff to do. So what they were doing was actually trying to find how could AI help? And so they made this AI tutor, which instead of just giving the answer or doing like the performer stuff, looks at how a student answers a question and use it, like then take the step, gives them hints, and then analyzes it to figure out, is this the common mistake that they're making? And supposedly, it's the first sort of real advance towards a scalable solution where not only, so they make the two versions. One is, how do you help the students, but also how do you help the teacher do lesson planning? So if you look at it and you go, a certain amount of your cohort isn't doing stuff, maybe tweak the lesson plan this way. So it actually works both ways. So teachers can actually get the answer and go, okay, this is where they're struggling, and it does the analytics for them as well. And I thought, wow, like, we always talk about the Terminator version of things, but here is a genuine, like, globally applicable thing.
The question is now, will Terminator teach the kids the wrong thing?
Well, the teacher still teaches.
Actually, what's going on?
The
lesson plan will be slightly biased towards, please install Skynet.
Oh man, I don't have my little creepy music because that's on the other soundboard. This literally the perfect do 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 do.
There you go. Well, the other positive note news that I saw was because solar energy in Spain, well, actually, sorry, it was a combination of solar, wind, and hydro or something like that. Apparently, it exceeded Spain's total demand. So they have made more renewable energy than they used in a day, which is it's a nice milestone. I felt good about that too, because I was like, my boat is very much set up as a live off solar. So I was like, it's cool. Whole countries are doing this, not just small boats.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, if you only had a floating island, and then you could just be like a country
island. Well, the problem is when it's sunny, when it's cloudy, I'm like, oh no, turn off the water heater. No electricity today.
But do you have like one of those fans that also generate the, what are they called? Like
the portable those are noisy things, as. Those are noisy as.
Do they kill birds and cause cancer? Is that why?
Cause cancer because they make me stressed out.
Why? Why do they make you stressed out?
They're noisy.
Like you can just hear it all through it.
Is like constant droning 24/7.
Yeah, just imagine your Mavic's out for a flight all the time.
yeah, just imagine the Mavic following you 24/7.
Perfect. That's what you have noise cancelling headphones for. But I suppose you can't really turn it off, right? Like, as in, it has to be.
Well, you can, but then it doesn't do anything. Then you've just got an expensive ornament.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, you know, expensive ornaments are a thing. But yeah, anyway, that is it for this episode. We will try and actually be a bit more regular now that we seem to have figured out our transcontinental space routing pathways. I'm just impressed. Like, if you think about the technicalities of what needed to happen to make this podcast work for this episode, right? Like 10 years ago, this would not be possible. You being on a boat with satellite internet and stuff. So yeah, it's like one of those little modern Marvel things. So as always, like and subscribe and all that stuff. We crossed over the 50 podcast mark. So I think that means we probably have a few hundred people listening. That was just on Spotify. Really helps. So, and leaving a review, especially on Apple Podcast, is especially useful. It seems to be the one that gets tracked, but Spotify, I've noticed, is starting to do grouped reviews now too. So especially if you use the Spotify app, and you can see the video, so you can check out Chandra's sweet, sweet boat background. And also, leave us a review and share it with your friends if they like boats, AI, pirate captures, and random facts. That's it for this week. Anything from you?
Enjoy. Until next time, I'll see where I'm floating next for the next conversation.
All righty. Bye-bye.